Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast. I'm Leora Alderson.
And I'm Devani Alderson. We're your co-hosts on this journey of creativity and productivity.
I Create Daily is for artists in every genre of creating, from musicians to writers, crafters to inventors, bloggers to entrepreneurs. I Create Daily is a movement for creators serious about your art.
If you're into creating anything, this podcast is definitely for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey.
Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast, a movement for creators serious about their art. I'm Leora.
And I'm Devani. And today we're joined by Ross Simmons, a digital marketer, content strategist, media publisher, storyteller, blogger, speaker, and coffee lover. Ross founded and co-founded several companies, including Hustle and Grind, which sells coffee and publishes content for entrepreneurs, Crate, a content marketing software that service that helps brands and startups around the world, and Foundation Marketing, which helps B2B brands and enterprise companies develop content marketing that works. And he also has his own name brand, RossSimmons.com, where he blogs about all things tech and business. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you today. Sounds like I'm a busy man when you say it all.
No kidding. Right. And we know you are. We totally get it. We're very busy entrepreneurs with way too many balls in the air ourselves. So along those lines, tell us, like, how in the world, I mean, like, there's so many things that we need to learn about what you're doing and how it all got started. So right. We'd love to start with the origin story. And since you know for yourself how that kind of fits in with all that you're unfolding, just tell us where we're in the journey you want to start on how it is in particular you got started basically being an entrepreneur and creator.
Yeah, no, for sure. So like for me, it really started out as a young age. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. So I would always see him with this sense of freedom and flexibility with his schedule that really kind of connected with me. Growing up, I wasn't someone who really did well with directions. So when people would tell me to do things, I didn't really like that. So the entrepreneurship thing was definitely something that seemed interesting to me as I was able to watch him kind of have complete control over his destiny, his career, his life, and balance work and life quite well because of it. So that really was the inspiration behind it all. But the entrepreneurship bug bit me in high school when I was very young, again, in the entrepreneurship space, but I found an opportunity where I'm from a small community that's not very big. We didn't get a lot of products and things like that available to us. So I went to a store one day and I noticed that they were selling these things called do-rags for very cheap, and they were selling them of all these different colors. So my parents gave us allowance every other week or every other month. And I took my allowance money and I decided I was going to buy a bunch of do-rags and then bring them back to school and sell them at a higher price because all of my friends didn't realize that you could buy them in all these different colors if you just found this one store. So that was my first taste into entrepreneurship, and I've been hooked ever since. I've always loved technology. I've been a geek from the time I was in school. So that kind of connected me with the internet. I ran a fantasy football blog all through university. And then as the traffic on my fantasy football blog went up, my marks went down, and my mom told me that I had to get back into the education side. So I turned my blog into a marketing blog, which is RossSimmons.com. And that eventually kind of allowed me to build my career and establish all of these other companies, which kind of are all ingrained in that kind of early days of entrepreneurship and just wanting to have the freedom and flexibility to create a business and create a lifestyle to my own desires.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I mean, to decide to start a coffee company is a huge right? From buying do-rags, which those are what? Tell us what do-rags are.
Yeah, so do-rags back then, they're a fashion statement, but they're also like an actual like legit functional product. So essentially, when you have curly hair, like any black person's hair, we want the front to be like very smooth going down with waves, and you would wear a do-rag while you slept so your hair wouldn't be all over the place. So when you wake up, you're feeling fresh, you look good, and everybody thinks your hair is nice. So that was the product there. And the intent was just to make sure that your hair always looked nice and crisp, even though it's not that much hair.
Okay. It all still counts, right? Okay.
Exactly.
So to go from do-rags to coffee then,
That's a big leap.
Yeah, and in between the marketing, you know, I mean, I kind of get, you know, like we follow Gary Vaynerchuk, and one of the reasons that he started Vayner Media, which is now an 800 plus person marketing firm, is through long-term thinking, strategically also position that marketing firm to be his own brand, to represent his own brand himself, et cetera. And so you have that, you know, now that you have, you already have a marketing firm. And so kind of in a way it makes sense then to start a products company, but that's still to go to a consumer products company. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so the consumer product side really stemmed from just always being interested in getting excited about creating brands. Like I spent a lot of time in the agency world as well in between all of my companies. And while I was doing that, I had a chance to work with some amazing clients from all over the world, but I was always building brands for other people. And I lost that ability to kind of create my own brand from scratch. And I had an itch where I was like, I need to do it myself again and get back into this. So like early days with the Do-Rag company, and then even with the Fantasy Football Blog, they were like my own entities that I had launched and that I had created. But I hadn't built anything of a physical product for quite a while. So I got excited by it. And I was like, this is something I want to do, something I've always wanted to try. So I went at it, and it's been successful ever since. I truly believe in this idea of experimentation throughout life and experimenting with everything. I have a four-word motto that I kind of ingrain in everything I do: build, ship, learn, decide. And the idea behind that is build something, ship it out to the world, learn how they respond, and then decide whether or not it's something that you're going to continue with or if it's something that you're going to walk away from. So I use that with everything that I do, whether it's a new business, a new project, a new marketing channel that I'm testing, like Reddit or blogging or Snapchat, you name it. I'm a big, big believer in experiments. And I think that that's the fastest and best way that anybody can grow and learn new things.
Absolutely. And with your, I guess, the hustle and grind experiment, how long did that take? Were you sourcing your own coffee, or like, did you develop all of that yourself? Yeah. Was it white label? Like, what was that process?
Yeah. So the early days, it started as an Instagram account where I was just telling people like hustle and grind, and those things will lead to good things. But then eventually I was like, oh, grind connects with the coffee. My best friend runs a coffee company. So I called him up and I was like, look, you run a cafe. I know you have suppliers in terms of coffee. Like, let's figure out a way that we can partner together and do some work, because I love working with people who I love. So like, if I have an opportunity to work with one of my best friends, then that's great. So reached out to him, was like, let's collab, let's make some magic. And then we went from there. So it's white label with the roaster. We don't actually do the roasting of the beans, but we have a great relationship with the roasters and with the farmers and things like that. So that's given us the actual beans from, and we've just kind of grown from there, where now we roll out content, and we have information products that we sell directly through the site. We have t-shirts, posters. Our art has been bought by companies all over the world, and it's in the offices of startups around the world, which has been fascinating to see. So now we're bringing on artists as well to kind of contribute to Hustle and Grind and give them a launching pad where they can actually not be that typical starving artist, and they can actually get a percentage of the sales. So if they're willing to kind of create something that's aligned with our brand, we'll put it up on our Instagram account, we'll share it through our store. And that's a new avenue that we've been taking as well.
Wow, this is amazing. It's so, there's so much about this journey that will be of value to our audience, because I mean, you're selling apparel, you're art designs, you're selling coffee. I mean, and you're selling mindset as well. You really let me.
And you have the background skill set of marketing and the ability to connect with the right partners to help move forward in the product side as well.
Yeah, what a great name that you. I mean, fantastic.
Thank you.
That, you know, domain name, right, for Hustle and Grind. That's fantastic. So. Let's just start with, okay, so you're selling coffee, and do you have like a, are you selling it through a warehouse? Are you selling it through a drop shipper, and you have a Shopify store? Like, if you could get into the nuts and bolts of some of the evolution of that and the mechanics of it as well right now.
For sure. So yeah, it's a little bit complex, so I'll try to make it simple. But essentially we've got, we initially started in the site at the moment is built on WordPress. So, it's a complete WordPress developed website, for the apparel side of things. Our designs, we do have a supplier out of the US who does all of the designs when it comes to actually the printing. So all of our art, all of our t-shirts, all of our hoodies are made to order based off of the consumer. So when somebody purchases, our suppliers get a notification that somebody has made a purchase, and then they actually design the canvas, they design the t-shirt, the hoodie, they do it all ready-made for that individual purchase. So there's nothing in a warehouse where we have a bunch of product on sale. On site, it's all built to order. The only thing that is in warehouse are coffee mugs. So we have a handful of our coffee mugs that have been custom designed where they're matte black and stuff like that, that are actually bought in bulk, and people can buy those, and those are shipped out of a warehouse in Canada. Then we have the actual coffee itself, which is also done every week. So each week we look at the number of orders in for coffee, send that to our roasters, they package the coffee, and then we ship those out. So that's essentially the process there. We are moving to Shopify in the next couple of weeks, just because we think that they have a lot more plug-in opportunities within to make the marketing a little bit easier and a smoother process. And that's been a big build and a big project, but that's going to roll out in the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, we can sort of relate to that kind of that journey, because where we are with iCreate Daily, we have also created some logo branded designs and shirts and moving into other things as well. And we're still in the process of looking for the optimal setup. You know, like we've sold through our site, we've used Teespring, we've looked up other, you know, warehouse and t-shirt manufacturers, hoodie manufacturers, etc., as well as printers. And there's so many different options out there, and then it can kind of be rickety trying to piece together, like, you know, from your site to PayPal.
Right.
There's just, it's just pretty rigid and clunky.
And you want to make sure it's quality. Like, you want to make sure that when you get it, it's like, oh, are people actually going to like this? Does it look good online and then look terrible when it's in your hand? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then to need to go through a lot of different suppliers to kind of test it out and see how, you know, how it turns out, if it turns out as good as you want. So are you amenable to sharing which manufacturer you're using or printing companies you're using?
Yeah, for sure. So Printful is the software kind of provider that we're using. They also do all of the stuff for Startup Vitamins. They've got a great product where you have a handful of different t-shirts and hoodies and shirts and selections of leggings. You can do phone cases. You can do tons of different things, and you add your art, upload it to the software, and then they will send it out for you. So we've been using them for all of the actual printing of the posters and the art and the t-shirts and hoodies, and I definitely would recommend them. They're a great service to use.
Okay, awesome. Well, we did order one test t-shirt through them, and we're satisfied with it, so that's good to know.
Now, awesome.
They are shipping directly to your customers, or don't they integrate with Shopify?
Yeah, so they ship directly to the customer. So when a customer orders through our site, the transaction then goes directly into the Printful API, which sends them all the data, and then they manage the transaction. So the money goes from the customer to Shopify, and then Printful takes money out of our bank account, which goes to them. And then once the transaction goes through, the money from the customer goes into our bank account, and we get that difference kind of thing from a cost perspective.
Right. And are you in Canada?
I am. I'm in Canada, yes.
Okay. So are you shipping in Canada and US? And are you?
Yeah. So we're shipping everywhere. So US, we send to the EU, Canada as well.
Did you start out that way, or did you grow? Because just cost-wise, it can be a lot shipping around the world.
Right. That's a great point. So we started bold, and we decided to ship everywhere. And then we started to get letters from Russia saying that we couldn't ship coffee there. We decided that we were done doing that. So we're no longer shipping the coffee and food to any places that we don't understand their laws around food. So we don't do that anymore. But we do ship all across US, we ship all across Canada, our products still. But yeah, that was interesting. And the shipping cost, what makes it even more interesting is, like, Canada's dollar is not the same as the US dollar.
Right.
So our dollar is all over the place. So when we launched, our dollar was ridiculously good. Then it went through a drop where it was really bad. And then our shipping costs went through the roof.
Yeah.
So the currency actually causes... Would I'd say the currency causes more issues in the business than anything else. So it's like an ongoing stock market of e-commerce kind of struggles.
Well, that's really interesting, actually, because we interviewed one artist. She's a fantasy artist from Finland, and she has that issue too, because a bulk of her clients are US-based.
Right.
But in terms of, like, you're doing business in a different country, but you're also servicing several different countries, how do you guys, like, what part of the company, I guess, and maybe I'm asking this question wrong, but what is the sustainable part of the income versus the constant fluctuation, and how do you guys balance?
Yeah, so the way that we balanced it was we decided that we were no longer going to be front and foremost Canadian dollar if you're in Canada. And we just said, we're just going to stick with US dollar. That's where the majority of our customers are. So if you buy something, it's going to be in USD. And I think it's been maybe 8 years since the Canadian dollar has been more than the US dollar. So that gives us a bit of a fixed rate to know, like, no fluctuation that happens with the US dollar is going to result in us being in a bad spot. And if it does, it'll be at par, which is fine with us. So that was our decision. We just said, okay, everything's just going to be in USD.
Great. So all the things that you're running now, and what would tell us the four-letter acronym again?
Build, ship, learn, decide. So okay.
That's exactly what happened, you know, with the shipping, coffee, and everything everywhere. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Seth Godin, just ship it, you know, and then we'll take the rest. You know, one of the quotes that we often use is, it is in the journey that the way becomes clear. And, you know, you really can't have everything resolved. And yes, you can save some headaches if you do more upfront research, planning, learning about, you know, but at the same time, does that really in the end save you time? You know, and it's, you know, for the entrepreneur style, it's just dive in.
Exactly.
Learn, you know, do and learn. So as you're evolving then, I'm imagining that you're also evaluating your companies and your role in the various companies. And it's like, you know, at some point you either have to completely replace yourself in some of what you're doing, or decide, you know, and keep them all going, or decide which one you want to pour more time and energy into based on the combination of profitability for practicality as well as passion. But probably passionate about all of them.
Right.
Because they're yours. They're your babies. Yeah. And so now where are you in the decision process about how you divide yourself up amongst it all?
Yeah. So for me, I think what I'm constantly trying to do is work myself and hire myself out of a job. So I want to continuously put people into different areas where they can thrive, where they can get excited, where they can find purpose, where they can get excited every morning to say, look, if we're able to reach hundreds of thousands of people on Instagram through Hustle and Grind and transform people's life, where they start to launch a side hustle, launch a side business, and then that turns into their full-time hustle, and that gets somebody excited, then I want that person to work on that brand. If somebody gets excited about the idea of helping marketers be more productive, helping them be more efficient with their work, then I want them on Crate. I want them to double down their time there. So once I start to figure out where my team is getting the most excited, I can say, like, let's invest in you so you can do what you love as it relates to this brand, as it relates to this business, and just double down on that. And by doing that, I'm creating somebody who has the capacity to do everything that I can do from an execution standpoint, and then just kind of lead the vision and kind of guide it on its own. So I think that that's really what my role is evolving into. And that's what I've been striving to empower my team to do now. So every day I wake up, I'm thinking about how can I train my people to be better equipped to do what I do so they can just do it on their own and they can lead this company, they can lead this business and kind of grow it. So yeah, that's been a driving factor. And for me now, it's just like, how can I accelerate that? How can I put the right people into things that get them excited? How can I get further and further out of the weeds so I can work on the business rather than in the business? And that's really the focus. So when it comes to the profitability and identifying which organizations are doing the best, all of the companies are profitable. All of the organizations are going in the right direction. So for me now, it's like, I talked about this with a friend of mine the other day. I like to view business like a video game. And in a video game, we have two ways of viewing it. We either play first person, where all we see is the things directly in front of us, or we play it from a third perspective, where we're controlling the person on the video game walking up and down the street. For years, I've played from a first person perspective, where I'm the one doing everything. Now I can step back and look at myself and control me as a controller and as a player to actually just navigate through the world. So that's what I think is key. And that's what I think is important as I kind of develop the next few years around these businesses as they go into the next 5 years, the next 10 years and what they develop into.
Yeah, what a great metaphor. One of our friends and podcast interviewees, Michelle Khoury, is into theater. So are some of the folks in our audience. And so another analogy that came to mind when you were sharing that is, so for those who may not be into video games, it's right. like to a play, you know, so either you're the actor or you're the director kind of thing.
Right.
You know, and
right.
then beyond that, you know, you may be the producer, which then that's mm-hmm. even one step further. So yeah, cool. I really like that a lot. And
that's awesome.
So that's fantastic. What is it of the things that you're doing do you love most? Or is it that you don't want to say because it, you know, you don't want it to anyone to hear that you may
have a favorite. No, I think for me, what gets me the most excited, and it's a mantra that we have within the team, is the idea of content can shape culture. So I believe truly that content can shape culture in a powerful way across any industry. So when I'm creating content that's inspiring entrepreneurs to be more entrepreneurial, that's shaping culture. It's changing the way that people view entrepreneurship. It's changing people's self-beliefs around whether or not they can do something. All of those things are a reality when you create content on that topic. In marketing, it's the same thing. So there's not a lot of people who look like me in the marketing industry, to be honest. Like, there's not a lot of Black people in marketing. So when I'm creating content and I'm talking about hip hop and I'm making analogies around like why content is just like a mixtape, and that resonates with an 18-year-old kid who looks like me, who's like, wow, I didn't think about it this way. Yeah. That's shaping culture. So what gets me excited every single day is the idea that by creating content, whether it's about entrepreneurship, it's about marketing, it's about coffee, it's about t-shirts, it's about eating more plants, it's about yoga, you name it. Like, if I create content, I can influence the way that people think, and I can honestly believe that I can help make the world a bigger place and a better place, by using my keyboard or by just using content. So that's exciting to me. And that's what truly drives me to constantly be creating things and going back to that mantra of build, ship, learn, decide. Building new content, learning how people respond to it, shipping it on a regular basis, and then deciding whether or not the content that I'm putting out there to the world is able to kind of move everyone forward.
Right. That's so amazing. And it reminds me, like, it's so inspiring, that vision. And it reminds me really of like philosophy, of philosophers. They were the ones back in the day that really shaped the mindset and the things right. that even we think about today still and right. ponder today still. And so it's almost like the new hip term for philosopher or thought leader is content creator, where you're publishing from your keyboard, and then years from now, tomorrow, next week, months from now, somebody will read it and be like, wow, that's really interesting. I didn't have that perspective, and now this is a new thing I can explore. And have like four companies that are doing that in different ways. That's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think like the reality is like when I think that it's one of the most interesting times to be alive, because everybody can be a content creator, like anybody from any background. If you have access to devices, you can create content. And Malcolm X had this quote that stuck with me ever since I was a kid, where he said like the media is the most powerful entity on earth. It has the power to make an innocent person guilty and a guilty person innocent. And that power has the ability to kind of control the minds of masses. So when you think about that and that idea, you can also think about it from the idea of just creating content around entrepreneurship or around business or about your beliefs and your thought process, where because we're now all media creators with our Facebook pages, with our Twitter accounts, we all have the ability to shape people's thinking, which is why I always strive to be positive. Like, I don't want to be someone who's adding negativity to a world that's already filled with negativity. I want people to be inspired when they see my content. I want people to feel good when they see my content, because that's what we're putting out into people's minds. Like, we're all going through one of the biggest experiments of all time with this social media thing. Like, this is the most undocumented experiment ever, where we now always are consuming content from tons of people from all over the world. None of it is regulated, and it's just like all going into our brains. So I think that if you can try to add a little bit of happiness, a little bit of value, like you guys are doing with this type of podcast, then you're doing so much of a service to your listeners and to the people consuming your content, that they have a chance to actually go out and live a better life because you existed. So that to me is what it's all about.
Fantastic. Yeah, we're totally on the same page. Love that. Just one of the reasons we also really wanted to interview you. And I want to speak, so two things. The mind is splitting in two different directions. So I want to talk about your speaking, but also then I want to come back to your employees, because you're adding positivity in the world in two places. Speaking, and you also then, by the way that you're managing your employees, and I was going to ask if they were like employees or freelancers, so we can cover that in a second, but this positivity concept, so back to what Devani's point about philosophers, it's like many of the entrepreneurs are becoming thought leaders and visionaries who are helping to influence that, and as you and many of those are positively oriented, like one of our favorites that we follow is Ryan Moran. Gary Vaynerchuk, we mentioned, really has that that strong inclination to reach young males, as you are. I mean, reach so many people, and then you find that you also positivity has no gender. Positivity is pervasive, and so you end up speaking to many. So tell us about, you do public speaking. Is that something you do for as part of your revenue, like for pay, or do you just do it because you love to share that message? What is that about?
So I do it for both. Sometimes I'll do a presentation just because it's a chance to give back. So I oftentimes will speak for free at local community events, at networking events, where I know that there's going to be some disadvantaged youth or minorities and things like that. Like, I speak at those types of events on a regular basis because there's a gap, and I believe that if I can help close that, then I'm always down for that. So I speak at those types of events typically for free, but I do speak on a paid basis when I'm talking about my expertise, which is in the world of content marketing, digital marketing, social media, B2B lead gen, anything around tech typically, those types of events, or if it's a conference that is charging their attendees, then those events I would definitely be paid to attend.
Right. Okay. And so then you're spreading positivity in your businesses to your employees. And there are just so many ripple effects, right, of those kinds of things, where you have people that are working for you and you're also helping them feel fulfilled.
Right.
Working for you, or is what we've talked about doing, and that is helping them find what will fulfill them, even if it's not within the parameters of your businesses.
100%. Yeah. And one of the things that I'm proud to offer, like all of my employees, is that they all have like a full week, any with pay each year, where they can just volunteer. So it's not sick time. It's not taking vacation days. It doesn't impact their employment. But they all have a week where I want them to just volunteer to the community, whatever programs are important to them, whether that's going to a soup kitchen, whether that's going to anything that you can think of. I just want them to be involved with the community. And if I can give them the ability to do that, still get paid and just like give back, then that's awesome. So yeah, I really do try to do it from the top down to just ensure that everybody's kind of recognizing like the community that we serve can only be better if we're willing to serve it as well. So that's kind of the idea.
That's fantastic. And are your employees all like on payroll, or are they free?
Yeah, they are. So this is all full-time employees. We're still a lean, small team, all remote, which has been a fun thing to do. Like, I've always been fascinated by remote work. I didn't work remote work when I was like employed as an employee, but I was always fascinated by it because I know that when I was in an office, I would have people coming by my desk and it would disrupt me all the time. So I was like, I need to create an organization that allows people who are also like me, who get energized by being able to just do the work, put in the headphones and get things done. And it's been fun. It's been really fun to kind of create a culture around everybody being remote. We're in two different provinces. We're out of Ontario, but we're also in Nova Scotia, with plans over the next couple of months to kind of evolve that even into the U.S. So it's been a fun journey, and communication has definitely been a key part of making that remote life work.
Right. That's awesome. I have one question. Do you, so a lot of the hustle and grind content, I'm on the newsletter and I see a lot of the content, and because so much of it is sort of like encouraging people who have the entrepreneurial bug but don't necessarily know where to start a side hustle. Right. Do your employees get that bug? Do you help them out? Right. Has that happened often? I mean, I'm sure it does. I mean, you're in such an inspiring place.
That's a great point. So it's funny enough, every quarter we do one-on-ones with the team. And in my last two one-on-ones, both of the people working with me approached me saying, like, we keep talking about side hustle. I think I'm going to start something. And I encourage it. Like, one of them wants to start a fashion blog where they're really interested in fashion. I tell them, give me fashion tips all every day, any day, because I'm always down to still be hip and cool as I start to age. But they want to start a fashion blog, and I'm completely supportive of it. I think it's a great idea. I think, like, those types of things are something that you should chase. I think that if you are interested in something, go for it. Like, chase it. I'll support you. I'll definitely give you as much guidance and advice as I can to ensure that you don't have to go through the different mistakes that I did. But yeah, I'm completely okay with people having side hustles on the team.
That's awesome.
So you're clearly a very productive human being. That's already been fully established. Yes. Do you have a daily creative habit?
I do. So I would say I do. I like to think, so there's a few different things that I do that I believe are like my creative habits. I do write a lot. I have a journal and I write in that every day. I try to like just document what was going through my head, what was I thinking about, things of that nature. So that's one creative outlet. I also just get excited about my work in a creative sense. So when I look at a slideshare presentation that I'm designing, I don't view it as a project that I'm developing. Like, that's not the way that I look at it. I always view it as a blank canvas and I'm about to create something that's magical. And I think that that mindset has allowed me to reach millions of people on SlideShare. Like, it's because I didn't think about it like marketing people think about it. A lot of marketers think about it in a one and zero perspective. It's either this is going to have a transaction or it's not going to have a transaction. Yeah. Versus me, where it's like, how can I tell this in such a unique story that it's like actually resonates with people on an emotional level? So, or make them think a little bit differently. So I have fun with my work. My titles on my blog posts aren't always optimized for SEO. Like, I'll write a blog post and it'll be four headline ideas that are short of work, 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 which is a playoff of a Rihanna song. Yeah. And that's not what marketers are supposed to do, but you got to have fun with what you're doing. You have to have fun.
You know what's funny about that though? Like, it's not what we've been traditionally taught to do, but it really is what we're supposed to do.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's true. That's what I think. I 100% agree. I think you're supposed to have fun with your work. Otherwise, you're just going to be just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So every time I look at it, it's like starting from a blank canvas.
Yeah, I think the first piece of content I saw from you a while ago, probably over a year ago, was when you dropped this thing about all these lessons that you can learn from Kanye West.
Right. Yes.
Right. The article and it sticks with you because you made it an engaging piece.
Right.
You had the little side jokes, the cultural references, all of that. That because nobody remembers the boring.
No.
White paper report stuff.
Right. And that's what I like to strive to inject in all of the content that I create. So that's why I think of my work as being a bit of a creative outlet as well, because I do try to have some fun with it all the time. And like all of the projects, it's weird because this is just the way I think, but like all of it is fun. I love this stuff. Like it's all a creative outlet. When I come up with a catchy new saying for a YouTube video, when I'm experimenting with a status update, when I'm collaborating with the team, like all of those things just get my creative juices flowing. I do have tons of ideas. So I'm always thinking of new things and writing down, oh, I want to write a book, or I want to try to write something that's fiction or nonfiction. Like, I want to come up with all of these different things. Could I create a short film? Like, what can I do? I want to do stand-up. Like, I bought a bunch of stand-up books on Amazon a few weeks ago. I haven't actually read most of them, but like, those are the things that I think about. I have so many things that I want to do. And it's just a crazy thing because like, we all know there's only so many hours in a day, but I try to do as much as I can with them.
Well, no, we can totally relate. We've got notebooks of ideas, just to hope to get to at some point in time.
Right.
We're doing more than we should be at this point for that reason too. But that's another reason we love your stories, because you also are doing one thing. And I know that there is a tremendous power in doing one thing well and getting it rolling successfully before doing the next thing. And so, you know, similarly, it's like there are serial entrepreneurs that are highly successful. Did you do that? Did you start one thing and get it rolling successfully before you started the next one? Or did you have several going on simultaneously from the beginning?
So I think the one thing that I do extremely well is create content. Like that's the company's name is Foundation, but I also believe like at the foundational level, creating content is at the core of every brand that I run. So Hustle and Grind has a blog, it has a website, has great content on Instagram that attracts people. Crate is literally a content curation tool that helps people curate content. Foundation, as a business, we help brands create and distribute content. So content at its core and at the foundation has been what I've done really well. To get to that point where I started rolling out new brands off of that foundation of content, it was all about just doing work for clients. So I started by creating content for clients, was able to say, okay, now that we have that set amount of kind of revenue coming in year over year, let's start experimenting within the realm of content because that's what I do really well. So that's what I doubled down on and I just injected different elements to that. So while Crate and Hustle and Grind are like the most like popular brands that I have, in addition to like RossSimmons.com and Foundation, we're also like running little mini experiments with different content branches. So we have tons of different little mini sites and different industries that we're creating content about, and we're just like managing them. So there's the core is content for us. It's all about creating content that shapes culture, regardless of whether it's about entrepreneurship, it's about business, it's about yoga, whatever it may be, creativity. Like we just want to create content and give other people the ability to create content on our platforms as well.
It reminds me of the Olympics. It's the Olympics is all about sports, but there's like dozens of sports, some that you haven't even heard of before that are played, but it's all under this dome of like sports.
Exactly. And that's 100% how I think about it. Yep.
Spot on. Well, we've talked about that too, because since we don't have just one thing, our one thing is we're a media publishing company. And what that means is we have a portfolio of websites and we create products and we write articles and create content. So it's all like you, content, content. And we love doing it. You know, again, like creating and contributing and content. You know, that's all, it's all wrapped up in all the things we're doing.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Definitely. So what people have inspired you on your journey?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You mentioned your grandfather earlier. Yeah. So how about now? Are there mentors that you follow? Or because you, I'm sitting in and I'll wait until you answer and then I'll ask that next question because I'm betting you're also a mentor to others.
Right. Yeah. So I think for me, I like to read a lot. I read a lot of books and I constantly am trying to learn from the past to ensure that the future is a little bit better. One gentleman whose story I studied quite a bit, isn't in the content marketing game, isn't in the business game at all. His name is Reginald Lewis. He was an American businessman. He was at one point the richest African-American ever. He died at a very young age. I think he was only 50, but he had the potential to become, in my mind, like the next like Bill Gates. Like he could have been huge. He ran tons of organizations. He bought a bunch of businesses, and he was like one of the first people who looked like me that was really able to kind of make it. I think his organization got up to $985 million in value. But not a lot of people hear about him, but I like read his book every single year, just to kind of get inspired by like what he was able to do. So I look up to him, big time. And then in the industry today, there's still a lot of people who I view as peers whose work I just admire. So, I look at people's work all the time who I just like appreciate what they are doing from a content perspective. And I connect with them, whether it's like a Marie Forleo, whether it's a Ryan Holiday and the stuff that he does, even Devani, like I look at her stuff and I'm like, oh, cool. Like this is awesome to see. Everett Taylor, there's people like Webb Smith, like there's tons of people who are out there creating content. Rand Fishkin, Will Reynolds, like there's tons. So I believe that like Google is my mentor in many ways where I just leverage the internet to kind of learn from people and get inspired from them.
Hold on. 1 second, our dog is alarm is getting ready to go off. Let me Okay. The dog is paused. We're back.
But yeah, so essentially at the end of the day, the internet is my mentor. I try to take inspiration from as many people as I can and use that to kind of just like go forward.
Yeah. Awesome. Fantastic. So you mentioned that, you mentioned the Reginald Lewis. Okay. So we'll look for his book and include a link to that. Is there any other book that you like, that's on your plate right now that you like to write? Ooh,
good question. So books, Ray Dalio's Principles. I recently read that. It was really good. Really, really enjoyed that book. Other books that I've read that I've enjoyed. Which ones? Let me see. Okay. Rework by the folks over at 37 Signals. That's a great one. Innovator's Dilemma is another great book. I've got my list, all of my books over here. Oh, Tanning of America. So The Tanning of America is a book that is by a gentleman by the name of Steve Stout. He's another person who I admire the work that he's done. He's a marketer. And what he's done is he created a lot of the collaborations between hip hop and a lot of the most popular brands today. So he was early on, like right on the ground, doing the collaborations between like Adidas and all of those early days hip hop people. The book is fascinating around kind of like how the culture blended with those brands. So yeah, Tanning of America is a book that I recommend to any marketer. And another book that I give to everybody on my team is Remote, also from the 37 Signals team, so they understand the value of remote work.
Okay, good. We haven't read that one, so we'll definitely add that to our reading list as well.
Awesome.
Yep. And
what are the top? So yeah. So
oh, sorry. I was like, highlight our next question. Anyway. So what are the top like, 1 to 3 things that you struggle with in your business currently?
Good question. I think the biggest struggle right now would be just finding enough time in the day to do all of the things. So there's only one way to get more time, and that's to add more people to the team. So hiring and bringing on the right people, onboarding them is constantly what's takes up a lot of my time. It is a challenge, but a challenge that I love. I love getting to know people, understand whether or not they're going to be a good fit, onboarding them, training them, that kind of thing. So I think that that's the biggest challenge. And then accelerating growth as quickly as possible is also key. So understanding how people, the biggest learning that I've had over the last few years is how different people are when it comes to learning. Like everybody learns so differently. So being flexible with how I train, how I educate people has been a struggle. Because when you work for yourself for years, like you think everybody is like you because you're the only person you really work with. But then you start to realize, okay, other people think and consume content differently. So I have to go about this a different way. So that's been a challenge, but it's been so fun to see the development. Like when you train somebody on something and then 4 months later, you see them killing it. It's quite a crazy feeling.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. So are you familiar with Jeff Hoffman?
I'm not, no.
He's a billionaire, original creator, or one of the original co-founders of Priceline.com.
Okay, cool.
Other companies. And he has a good talk on replacing himself kind of thing, right. and how it is that he replaced himself so well.
Interesting.
Company that like he kind of showed up for what work one day and there was nothing for him to do kind of thing. So we'll send those links your way.
Yeah, definitely do. I wrote down the name, so I'll definitely check
and
that
also
out.
Also, another Jeff, but this one is spelled G-E-O-F-F, Jeff Woods.
Okay.
And he is one of the people who work with, is it Gary Keller?
Gary Keller.
Gary Keller. I think, I'm not sure if I have the first name right, but of Keller Williams Realty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gary Keller, that's right, went along with Jay Papasan, are the authors of the book, The One Thing, that we mentioned earlier. And they have an amazing process for their people. He's like the most successful real estate company in the world.
Right.
And one of the things that they attribute it to is this concept of the one thing.
Hmm.
And I know that for us, again, you know, we've got so many things going on, except that in our earlier conversation, we've kind of narrowed it down to your one thing is content creation. And everything else orbits around that. You know, your time is content creation. So one of the things that's helpful, though, because as you were talking, I was imagining of your long list of things that you want to get to, you know, and you're already on your way there by replacing yourself. So this will kind of plug in for you at a perfect place on how to do that even more.
Right.
They have a process that they talk about, like in some of the presentations from Freedom Fastlane.
And
Rand. So I'll send you those links. We'll include them in the show as well. But I know that you will love, you know, love the message there.
Awesome. Thanks so much. I definitely will check that out. I love reading, love consuming content. I mean, if you create content, you have to consume it too. So I look forward to it. I get excited by that. So
yeah, same here. So in closing, do you have any final thoughts to share?
Final thoughts. So I think for me, I would say I'm going to flip the switch a little bit and ask you two a question. So what inspires you to create content like this? Why do you do this? What fires you up to think that this is the thing to create?
That's a good question. Nice flipping switch too.
So I think all of us, I think every single person is born with the ability to create something that makes the world a cooler, better, more awesome place to be.
Right.
And if somebody can listen or read or consume a portion of our content or several bits of content that we put out and they're inspired and that helps them light that spark and create that thing they've always wanted to create or motivate them or re-inspire them, whatever it is, wherever they are in their journey, right. If we can help that, it's helping leave the room better than you left it, you know? Right. Like it helps us leave a legacy of helping people make cool things. So
that's awesome. That's cool. Yeah.
And for me, so I've always been like the busy bee kind of thing. It's like I've always got to be creating something. So when I was younger, it would be, you know, if the family's watching TV, I've got to be crocheting because I can't just be sitting there, you know, doing nothing. And so in, you know, later years, it's like discovering the love of sharing, like Devani was saying, things that have never been created before. You know, it's like the concept of creating is really like literally manifestation. It's bringing something to life that hasn't yet been brought to life before in that exact way. Because every voice is different. And then as a, you know, self-learner, a constant, you know, student of life, I'm always all my life, like teaching myself and self-correcting, you know, like learning and figuring out how I could do things better. Right. And I discovered that not everyone does that automatically. And therefore there are some of those things that I've discovered and learned that are helpful when they're put into a form that others can consume that also help them.
Right. That's awesome. I'm so glad I asked that question. That's, that's inspiring. So thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it. And thanks for all you guys are doing with this. Like this is why I do what I do. And I love hearing why other people do what they do. So keep creating, keep inspiring. It's awesome.
And you too. Yeah. I mean, you're amazing and incredibly inspiring. And we're so glad to have been able to meet you face to face and share you with our audience. So
thank you so much.
Awesome. No problem at all.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.
You too.
Okay.
We forgot to ask you, what are you creating today?
So it's a great question. I created a presentation today, brand new, and I delivered the presentation earlier today as well. So in one day, I created a presentation very last minute and then delivered it. And then now, what's my next on my creation list? I've got a few things that I have to create in terms of content. Oh, I'm doing a Reddit research. So I'm researching how B2B brands can leverage Reddit. So stay tuned for that someday. Now I'm just analyzing data. So
I can't wait till that comes out because that's like confuses me so much.
I like it.
I like pretty sites that like look pretty to read. And so my ADHD brain looks at Reddit and I'm like, where do I
That is fair. A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, so there's no, we could keep you all day, but we won't, promise. So we'll try and make another opportunity to learn more from you. So again, thanks.
For sure. Awesome. Take care. Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for joining us for the I Create Daily podcast. Please let us know what creatives you would like us to interview and what topics you would be interested in hearing more about.
And if you enjoyed this show, please leave a review on iTunes. We value your feedback. We read all the reviews, and it just helps us get the word out on the I Create Daily podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.